Opinionated Marketers,
a podcast from Cambridge Marketing College.
So, welcome to Opinionated Marketers with Charles Nixon and me, Kieran Kapoor. There was no one story this week, was there, Charles? So a number of things have caught our eye, from what's going on in the supermarket world to what's going on with mortgages.
The other thing that occurred to me as we were reading through the papers was the parliamentary committee that was looking into mental care, its recommendation for the restriction on altering of adverts and pictures, the photoshopping of adverts and images to make them seemingly perfect, was something that I did think was long overdue. Selling of products which are not actually real, or are models that are not actually real, having had legs and arms and heads, etc., improved, let us put it that way, or even extended.
Yes, and the rules around before and after pictures for cosmetics treatments have massively tightened, so that... And actually, it's quite interesting that you look at these proudly displayed before and after photos of people of that companies are using, saying, you know, this is what the treatment changes. And you realise how small the changes are for what can be an incredibly expensive product. And you suddenly look at it and go, well, actually, you know, you're saying it's going to skin whiten, but if it's actually going to make that little difference, I'm not certain I can be bothered. They're not dramatic differences, whereas previously that's very much what we were sold, that, you know, buy this cream and it will make you look 10 years younger. Well, the before and after photos will most definitely belie that. I think you're right. It has been long overdue. It's definitely been required. And it does go back to that very, very old proverb of what the eye doesn't see, the heart doesn't grieve after. If you are shown these images and you think they're going to make a difference, that's what you desire.
Yes, it's a very powerful world that we occupy as marketers. The ability to affect people's desires and attitudes. We have to wield the power with care, and I think some notification that this picture has been improved digitally is an important one, because we're in danger of selling to adults the things that were used to be sold to kids, you know, pictures of wonderful train sets, etc. But actually, when you got out of the package, all it was a piece of track and a car. and there was no scenery with it, and there was no little people and all that sort of stuff. So I can still remember some products being sold with only half of the bits and pieces that you needed to make a full set. So I can think that, you know, we need to be careful about what it is that we offer and how we present the benefits. And I think as marketers, you know, ethics is something that we need to come back to time and time again.
Yes, that brings us to a topic that we also saw, which we were thinking about, which was the new Asda range of cut price food. They're calling it their Just Essentials budget range, which is they are claiming one of the lowest cost, most extensive range of reduced price products. And there's been a typical sort of social media storm around it, about because it's in bright yellow packaging, and there's been suggestions that this acts like a poverty marker. I should think Asda are actually probably quite chuffed with the publicity, because on the one hand, it's the suggestion that, you know, you can only possibly buy the cheapest brand and therefore you are very poor. On the other hand, Asda's argument was, well, why on earth would anyone feel embarrassed about buying a budget range? It means they're a savvy shopper. So I wondered what you thought about that.
Well, it takes me back to, again, a similar piece of marketing in what would be, I think, the 80s, which was essentially when Tesco's innovated the marketplace by building out its value range. It was the first of the supermarkets to decide that it was going to tier its own range and have its highest, its finest range at one end and its value range at the other. And their packaging was white cans, if I remember rightly, with blue and red on them. And they were very obviously value. But they certainly became a kudos. You know, you could walk into any chief executive's office and quite aptly have tissues with a Tesco value branding on it. There was no stigma attached to it because everybody wanted the value that was there. I think this is an interesting issue because it is now just a relatively small number of people who want to express a thought on social media, gaining more publicity than would have been necessarily justified. And I think quite rightly, Asda have brought out a range of products to suit the market. And they're telling everybody about it. It's a very big brand, and I don't see there's any problem at all in buying something that's valued and labelled as value.
I agree with you. And as I said, I think for Asda, they probably think it's a good thing. The other one that caught my eye also in the supermarket world was that the supermarket chain Iceland is taking part in a scheme to offer interest-free loans to help people with food bills. Now, Iceland has been... or the CEO of Iceland has been quite at the forefront of talking about poverty and food poverty particularly. I think we talked about him a little while back where he actually said that his main competitor was not other supermarkets, it was the food banks. So he really feels that his core client base is at the struggling end and is struggling to buy day to day essentials. So they have, and this was reported, it's been reported extensively in the papers today. I've caught it in The Guardian, but it's also been in The Sun and The Mirror, saying that there is going to be this zero interest loan scheme as a result of a link up between Asda supermarkets, Iceland supermarkets, and a charity owned lender. And they're offering microloans of between £25 and £100 to buy everyday items.
Iceland is a very interesting brand. It's innovated over several decades now. Its understanding of its marketplace is very, very good. As a marketer, I think it's a very good one to watch because they really do understand their market. They were some of the first to bring in what are now standard items and ideas, such as home delivery. I personally don't like the idea of extending credit, although it's interest free, at this particular juncture, because I think it's only building up problems for the future. It's if for small amounts for people for a short period of time, it's a very innovative way of helping your customer. As long as it's on the basis of just for a short period of time and doesn't allow it to build up. I think there are, again, the ethical issues here of £25 this week, £25 next week, £25 week after, you're into £100. And then if it gets converted into an interest, even if it's a low level of interest, that's a problem. At the other end of the scale, there was also an announcement of an innovative financial product this morning, which was that there's a second lender now being approved for 50-year mortgages and will actually offer, first off, 30-year fixed-rate mortgages. Now, it's interesting to think about a 4% fixed-rate mortgage over 30 or 4.5%, I think, over 50 years. Now, where does that leave you? What are the other terms and conditions that comes with that? We are beginning to look at longer lives. So, you know, perhaps this is an innovation that's it will become the norm. Financing of one's lifestyle is an ever innovative marketplace. And there are elements where the old banks are just not keeping up. So innovations through the new challenger banks is always to be looked at from marketers' perspectives.
Yes, I mean, there's some talk about the 50-year mortgages could actually, I mean, I when I originally saw it, I thought, oh, it's very much for first-time buyers, the young that are going to be able to pay back over 50 years. But actually, there's some talk about the fact that you might be able to sort of pass these on to the next generation, which is a very interesting concept. It's apparently it's quite standard in Japan, but it's a very new concept to the UK market.
Yes, if you start to think about the fact that children born since more or less I think 2010 are likely to live to 100, then a 50-year mortgage is probably something that they could cope with and certainly could be passed on to their children. Where that leaves us with who owns the stock of assets in the world is an interesting question. And who basically are the underclass who just rent them? I think on that point, perhaps we'll draw a close and let everybody to ponder.
Lovely to speak to you, Charles.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Like and subscribe to this feed for more podcast content.
From Cambridge Marketing College.